That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, folks, before we start the show, here's a brief message from Home Title Lock.
Deborah's home was stolen. No, I don't mean thieves stole stuff. I mean scammers literally stole her home. The FBI calls title theft one of the fastest-growing white-collar crimes. And this story is why you need Home Title Lock. Deborah says, criminals found the title to our home online and filed fraudulent documents claiming they owned our home. Wait, it gets worse. Deborah goes on to say, I was evicted from my own home and $85,000 in equity, gone. Nobody believes you can get your home stolen this easily. This is why you need Home Title Lock, because no insurance or bank protects your home from title theft. First things first, go to HometitleLock.com and register your address to see if your home's title has been tampered with. You need to protect the legal title to your home so you don't end up like Deborah. Go to HometitleLock.com now for 60 risk-free days of protection. Again, that's HometitleLock.com. HometitleLock.com.
And now let the cartoons begin.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Morning, Gabe.
Morning, Mom.
Elena.
Oh, Marty, I almost forgot Jennifer Parker called.
Oh, I sure like her, Marty. She is such a sweet girl. Isn't tonight the night of the big date?
What? When, Ma?
Well, aren't you going up to the lake tonight? You've been planning it for 2 weeks.
Well, Mom, we talked about this, but how can I go to the lake? The car's wrecked.
Wrecked?
Wrecked?
What happened to
when the hell did this happen? And why
is it out? I'm sure the car is fine.
Why am I always the last one to know about these things?
See, there's Biff out there waxing right now. Now, Biff, I want to make sure that we get 2 coats of wax this time, not just one.
Just finishing up the second coat now.
Now, Biff, don't con me.
I'm sorry, Mr. McFly. I meant I was just starting on the second coat.
Yeah, Biff, what a character. Always trying to get away with something.
Bob Zeska.
Bob Zeska. You really are sick.
The Bob Zeska Show.
From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, January 30, 2020, and this is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com, the greatest damn soap ever. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hi, day 1,106 of the Trump crisis, day 131 of the impeachment of Donald Trump, 278 days until the 2020 presidential election, and let's bring him in, the angry goth ninjas. So angry. Why are you so angry, goth ninjas? Why are you so shrill and screechy?
Oh my God. I don't know. Maybe the fact that our democracy is on fire.
Yeah.
There you go. It is T-Rex David Ferguson from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the T-Rex Report. Also, Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com. Along with all of the rest of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network lineup, thank you for supporting all of our Sexy Liberal shows with 5-star rating and reviews everywhere you get your podcasts. Okay, so as I said, we all logged in, and it's like, Jody's like, fuck that, and fuck him, and fuck the other guy, and fuck, just like that with actual words. So,
yeah, it was exactly that.
Clearly, there's lots of Republican gaslighting going on in the Senate right now with question time, with the Q&A for the managers and Trump's defense. And I want to talk about all of that bullshit here coming up in just 1 second. But, you know, you may recognize a bit more of a spring in my step, a little bit more energy in my voice than you heard on the Wednesday show or the Tuesday show. And I'll tell you exactly why. This happened like, I don't know, 6-8 months ago, something like that, a couple of years ago. I don't know when it was, but it happened once before where I spent an entire week accidentally drinking decaf coffee. Now, those of you, who are...
Wait, time for my catchphrase. You dumbass.
My God, it's only in these times when I realize how addicted to caffeine that I am. And it's kind of frightening because what happened was since Sunday all the way through Wednesday, I was drinking decaf coffee. And for some reason, I of course didn't know it, but I felt sick. I felt lethargic. I felt depressed and really dark. Like by the end of the day yesterday, I was just ready to go total emo. I was going to dye my hair black. I was going to become a goth ninja is what I was going to do. And then I went to make coffee this morning and I noticed on the bag of coffee, they have a teeny tiny little green label in the lower right hand corner that says decaf. Now, no fucking wonder I missed that label. It is so tiny, so minuscule on that bag. The whole rest of the packaging looks exactly like regular coffee. Mm-hmm. And then you just put this little, it's like they're deliberately trying to fuck with me. It's like, we're going to try to fuck with Bob Seska. We're going to put the little decaf label as difficult to see. And because he needs glasses, he's not going to be able to see it. So that's exactly what happened. I went to make the coffee this morning and I looked down at the bag of coffee and I realized, oh, wait, this says decaf.
God damn it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I've been drinking decaf since Sunday.
I'm picturing that famous, like, horror movie take shot where the hall behind you lengthens, you know, and you're just like, I've been drinking decaf.
That's right. Well, I mean, those of you who are addicted to caffeine, as I am, can recognize the desperate nature of discovering that you'd been drinking decaf all that time. And then everything falls into place.
Oh, I thought I had a brain tumor. It happened to me one day working at my old job at the unnamed website. I got halfway through the day, I had this terrible headache, and my brain just wouldn't brain. It wouldn't go. I was like, what's wrong? I can't think. I'm having a brain hemorrhage. It's like, okay, my name is, yes, David. And I am,
you know, like Doogie Howser's theme song?
Yes,
again?
Whenever we talk medicine and medical issues, it's always, I gotta go, I'm OCD. What could I say? I gotta play the... Play the right music at the right time. Okay, please continue, T-Rex, with your story of brain tumors and caffeine addiction.
Oh, I finally went to the freezer and realized that I was getting my that I had switched, mixed up the two coffee cans in the freezer. You know, God. One was decaf and one, and they were the same brand. It was Bustelo, and it just, in my sleepiness, I had grabbed the green can and not the yellow one. So,
well, you know, it's like non-alcoholic beer. Decaf coffee should be outlawed by some sort of federal statute just to protect
my
me,
husband.
Protect.
I mean, he can't do caffeine. Like, I saw him once after two Inca Colas, and it was like the last 15 minutes of Scarface. It's just like he's
Jesus Christ. That's so funny. So it's like
talking nonstop. It was just like And then I went and I pulled over and I turned out the window and I looked at the window and I let you, it's just like, baby, calm down. Like, it's,
oh my God, I feel so great. Why do I feel so great? Why do I feel so energetic? I feel so happy.
Why am I so
and energetic.
Awake? I need to go walk the whole earth. Oh my God, I feel so much better. Hi.
Well, see, now.
I have this friend who's super spiritual and she's really into crystals. Uh-huh. And like, I went over to her house and she took these crystals and she smashed them up and put them on the table and we snorted them and they give you all this energy.
Like, man, see, that's what I feel like today. I feel like I'm full of energy, but needless to say.
Oh, I have an urgent question.
Yeah.
What was Pam Bondi wearing on Tuesday or Monday?
Like, it was walk of shame outfit.
For real. Like, where is she going in that outfit? I mean, you don't, I've never seen anybody in sequins, like, on the, like, giving congressional testimony. She was genuinely, she's like, it was hideous. It was, like, black and sparkly, and then it had a big silver panel across the front. And it just, I was like, I think she's dressed as the patch of black ice that killed Metallica's bass player. Like, that's wow. like the only thing yeah. I can figure here. She's just, I mean, what is she? I mean, you know, she's, and then you turn up the volume and she's like, the lid again, and you crying.
Yeah. You know, she's yeah. just like, you know what it is? You know why she's dressed that way?
You can't let that happen to me.
Donald Trump. Donald Trump is exactly yeah. why she's dressed that way. They're all dressed for Donald Trump. They're all performing for Donald Trump. You know, you better believe that Donald Trump told Sekulow to get a pocket wedge in there, you know, get a, one of those handkerchief mm-hmm. wedges and make sure they all have their right, their correct ties and everything's
he's
looking spiffy
to me.
And sharp and crisp. Yeah.
I mean, he really does look like a homeless person's idea of a hotshot lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, didn't you say, weren't you remarking that he looks much larger than he usually does on Fox News Channel? Were you saying that on Facebook?
He looks rounder. The edges of that suit are straining. And I'm just was like, what's going on here? Is it just like he's like gradually like filling up with bullshit? Like until he's just going to explode. And that's why yeah. his hair is so dark. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. And the bad hair, it's like, dude, normal people's hair has more than one color. Like, it
yes.
looks like he just got dipped in a bucket of ink.
Yeah, that's
know?
Right.
It's just like, nobody's buying that, dude. You know, maybe stop buying Grecian formula by the gallon.
Well, if you notice,
get the normal small bottles.
All of the Trump inner loop people are starting to look and dress like Trump. Who was it the other day who was wearing a Trump tie? Netanyahu. Was wearing a Trump tie. Netanyahu was dressed
like
Donald Trump.
You mean Netanyahu, Bob. It's Netanyahu.
That's right. Prime Minister
Netanyahu.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
Was wearing a Donald Trump tie the other day. They're all. Lou Dobbs. I think John Fugelsang was talking about this on his show last night, where Lou Dobbs and Sean Hannity, they're all starting to wear the orange face makeup, and they're all starting mm-hmm. to wear the ties. Certainly Rudy Giuliani is cultivating the Donald Trump uniform look, right? And I don't know why that's a thing, but it is. They're all dressing like Donald Trump, I guess, to impress Donald Trump. That's the way you manipulate Donald Trump, is you kiss his ass by reflecting his
undead.
Style. Yeah,
the yeah undead. They're dead now.
Yeah,
at some point they've been embalmed, that hence the orangey tint.
Maybe that's certainly the case with Lou Dobbs, who apparently killed a guy with a chair. We learned that. Buzz on Buzz made a joke on Tuesday's show that was still to this day is cracking me up. He said that Lou Dobbs killed a stagehand with a chair.
Yes.
And I still want that to be true. I mean, not for the sake of the stagehand. I mean, poor stagehand. But
poor you know, red shirt stagehand. We only think of you as existing at all so that Lou Dobbs can
yeah.
mow you down with a chair.
The only thing that would have been funnier is if Lou Dobbs killed a stagehand with his giant teeth. That would have been even funnier than the chair, but, you know, what can I say? So one of the things that I was worried about when I had this long stretch of no caffeine for, you know, by complete accident, I thought, oh, my God, is it the coronavirus? Well, what?
You
have been drinking
beer?
A Mexican beer, have you?
Jeez. Well, you know, the corona, is that how you pronounce it? Coronavirus? Is that the
yes.
pronunciation?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So yeah. it's not some odd, offbeat pronunciation. Okay.
Well, and by the way, the coronavirus is just a generic term for SARS and MERS and all these other. It's basically
right.
this virus has been around for thousands of years.
Isn't it from eating like wild snakes? Didn't they come up with that?
It came from a part of that city in China where they actually sell live animals and they kill the animals in front of you.
Oh my God.
And
that's yes.
So,
and nature's like, oh yeah?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean
take
it's
this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's different. Human beings doing this is different than out in the wild, certainly. And
yeah.
and so the virus gets airborne eventually and can transmit from animals to humans, which now apparently there's human to human contact, so there's that problem. But I mean, it started to become a potential pandemic now, unfortunately.
Right.
Last week it wasn't,
it's
now it might be.
The end of the world. Sorry.
I don't know if it's
I
that.
I feel fine.
When I think of that, I'm not thinking about the coronavirus when this issue comes up. I go immediately to, you know what, people who are eating animals like that, fuck those people.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I've seen videos of that happening, and it is the most barbaric fucking thing you could possibly think of. But, you know, the oldest man in the world, Wilbur Ross, said this said this about the coronavirus today.
I don't think he was actually asleep in that meeting. I think he's playing dead like a possum. Like, someone asked him a policy question, and he just was like, eek. You know, and they're like, is he okay?
Yeah.
Someone get a mirror. Is he fogging it?
Yeah, okay. Bring in Doogie Howser to help out Wilbur Ross. Okay. So Wilbur Ross said, again, this deserves all the ridicule. He said, I think it will help to accelerate the return of jobs to North America. It meaning the coronavirus.
What?
So, yes, he's looking at the upside.
Oh, no, he said that.
The coronavirus. Hey, look, don't get too panicked about the coronavirus because, you know, there is an upside. Jobs. Great jobs.
So, okay, he thinks that we're going to somehow, like, steal the iPhone manufacturing back to the United States and leave the virus behind.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Because there will be fewer Chinese people to to build the iPhone. So, therefore, more Americans will have jobs.
Or companies will pull out. American companies will pull out of China because of this and start making stuff here again, which is not going to happen because that's a 20-year plan, not a 6-month plan.
Not even, I mean, oh, God.
These sick bastards. These sick bastards. Yeah. You know what that is? That's the CEO nihilist mentality.
Exactly.
These CEOs, man, they have this wiring where they're able to focus exclusively on the bottom line that they have to deliver to their boards. And anything
and that's
that
why they're terrible people. Yeah. We shouldn't revere them or read their books or ask them what their habits are. The 7 habits of highly successful people is like, you know, family capital.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, like a trust fund that you, you know, it's just like, I don't know.
Oh, wait. Did you guys hear this, though, today? Claire McCaskill on MSNBC literally calling Alan Dershowitz Mr. Underwear.
What?
I want Claire McCaskill to call me Mr. Underwear. That's the greatest nickname.
That was his excuse when he got massaged with Jeffrey Epstein girls. Well, I kept my underwear on, so she literally referred to him as Mr. Underwear this morning.
That's hilarious.
Oh, my God. That's so great.
She should run for the Senate again, just based on that.
Well, so far, that's the title of the show today.
Mr. Underwear.
Mr. Underwear. Yes, of course. In fact, I'm thinking about changing the name of the show. The whole show. No longer the Bob Zeska Show. It's going to be the Mr. Underwear Show.
Mr. Underwear Hour.
I want that. I want to be Mr. Underwear. Okay, well, speaking of Mr. Underwear.
What is going on? I mean, Dershowitz, I mean, for God's sake, he was like, I mean, that was the most, like, again, a snakehead swallowing its own tail. Mm-hmm. Like, just, he was like, yeah, because the president, anything he does in the interest of getting reelected is in the best interest, he believes, of the country. So therefore, it's not illegal. And it,
It's insane. Yeah, I have a few things to say about that here in a second once we get to our Ukraine section of the proceedings today. But a section of Donald Trump's big, beautiful wall blew over yesterday. Someone farted on the American side and blew the fence over into the Mexican side. The fence, just a strong gust of wind. I guess it was the Santa Anas. Was that it, Jody?
It was windy yesterday. I mean, and I'm wind protected and it was windy, but honestly, shouldn't a wall? I mean, my stupid tents withstood it. My trees are fine. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
You're wind protected? Is that like a surgical procedure they can do in LA now?
No, it's how our street is, how we are. It's really interesting. Our little block. If there's wind in our block, I know it's super windy just, you know, half a block north.
Okay. So you must be in some sort of small valley or something like that, just out of the...
Well, I am in the valley, but it's this weird kind of, because the freeway is south of me. Yeah, I'm in a crevasse. No, it's weird how the wind works in my block. It's just, we are super wind protected. So when it's windy in my backyard, I know it's like Chicago, just a half a block north.
Yeah. Well...
It's very interesting, actually.
It is. It's weird. It's
California,
weird.
It's the strangest place in the world. I'm telling you, you guys all act like it's perfectly normal to have this weird microclimate in your neighborhood.
What's wrong with you? Of course it's normal.
Yeah, and the neighborhood is San Fernandino, you know?
Right, whatever.
And it's actually, are we going to San Fernandino? I thought we were going to Los Angeles. Well, it's in Los Angeles.
Like, right.
Oh, honey, I live in Valley Village.
Right? See, I've never heard of that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
It's Silver Lake.
It's been around since the 60s. It's just used to be called North Hollywood.
What was it, a Minuteman or one of the like border vigilantes who was just eating a gigantic burrito and just and then just
I think it was a giant fart. Yeah, it was somebody in California farted and boom, it went over.
Yeah, I think that's the explanation we're going to go with on this show.
Yes.
I would suggest perhaps it was Devin Nunez, but he might sue me.
It could have been Mr. Underpants.
That's right. There he goes. That was an actual Devin Nunez fart. I captured that in his office the other day.
Speaking of his lawyers in an hour.
Speaking of farts, I'm going to need your gaydar, David Ferguson, because Greg Gutfeld yesterday on The Five, which happens to come on at 5 in the evening on Fox right. News Channel. See how clever that is? They're really thinking over there. So smart. It's so clever. Greg Gutfeld, I think, is totally in love with Donald Trump. And if you listen to this clip that I'm about to play, you may get the same impression. This is Greg Gutfeld talking about just how strong and powerful Donald Trump is and just the tone of voice.
Let me interrupt for 1 second and just say that I believe that we should never actually say Greg Gutfeld without saying his middle name, which is my default setting is Gay Panic.
Well, now that's competing with the, what was it, Mr. Underwear for the name of the show today.
Okay, my default setting is Gay Panic, Gutfeld.
Yeah. Underwear.
Here's Greg Gutfeld, who's one of my least favorite peoples in the world. I've disliked Greg Gutfeld since we were both writing blogs for the Huffington Post years ago. And he's just completely insufferable. Just such a bag of dicks. Here's Greg Gutfeld talking about Donald Trump. And listen for the... just the sheer love and affection in his voice when he's talking about this.
You know, with this new trade deal and the peace deal, isn't Donald Trump like Earl Campbell? You know, he can cross the goal line, carrying people in. Remember Earl Campbell? Yeah. He used to he was a big back and he'd run. And it was like when people would jump on him, he would just move forward and score. Doesn't Trump more effective when he has such resistance?
That's right, and we're the offensive linemen, okay? Helping him plow the field,
Trump is big and tough. That makes us tough, too.
That's right.
Oh, my God. What was that?
Jesse Waters says the secret part out loud, where he says that it's Fox News Channel pushing Donald Trump over the end zone, or over the... what is it? The goal line. Is that what they call it?
The goal line, yeah.
Yes.
Do you not know the sports? Come on, Bob. You don't know the sports?
You're Mitt Romney. Remember, he didn't know what a basketball goal was called? He's like that hoop thing over there.
Well, Pete Buttigieg did that the other day, too. He referred to a basketball court as the field. Talking about Kobe, bro. So yeah. I'm in good company. Thank you very much.
Greg Gutfeld was, Gavin McInnes before Gavin McInnes was, and they're all just like so repressed. Mm-hmm. All they want to do is like get down on their knees and lick daddy's boots, you know? And like if they would just go to a leather bar for the weekend and just work that shit out, they would probably be perfectly normal people. Yeah. But instead, they're just like running around going, oh God, daddy, please love me. And it shows in like every single thing they do and say.
Yeah.
And that's why Greg Gutfeld's gay panic is his default setting because he's so clearly like, it's the same thing you see with all these authoritarians. They all really are just wanting, Sylvia Plath's daddy, big black shoe, like they want the fascist, they love it.
Yeah.
They want someone to control them and tell them what to think and what to do and put them out in front yard in pretty, pretty dresses where all the neighbors can walk by and point and wave.
That's very vivid. Yeah.
It's like a windsock. He's just blowing whichever way, whatever is the most powerful thing, he's going to bow to that.
Well, then he is handing out compliments like a prostitute. It's just like, oh my God. Donald Trump, the largest hands, the best hair, the biggest penis. Oh my God, the penis on that man. It's just amazing. It's like Earl Campbell's penis. That's what he's got. Earl Campbell. Earl Campbell is
going on. I don't really know who Earl Campbell is.
Well, he was a running back for the Oilers. Yeah. See, I do know things about the sports.
Sports.
I know sports ball.
Yeah, white that's guy. Right.
I wish I had that jingle, by the way.
Sports.
Yeah, the Stephanie Miller Show has a sports jingle that they use that's so funny. I love it so much because I don't know anything about sports, or at least modern sports. Any sports after 1983, I'm just going, huh? What? Earl Campbell was a pretty heavy-duty running back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So
but he wasn't kneeling at the time.
Guy who, what's his face he's talking to, Stephen... No, it's not Chatterhead. What is the guy? Crowder? Stephen Crowder? Is that who is?
Oh, are you talking about Stephen Crowder?
Well, I get him confused with the guy that's actually on the show there with Gutfeld. What's the other guy?
Gutfeld, Jesse Waters.
Jesse Waters. I get him and Crowder confused because they kind of are exactly the same person.
Yeah, they both have a punch me face.
They both have punch me face and they both look like they have children's bodies in the crawl space.
I thought you were going to say, I thought you were just going to say they both look like they have children's bodies. Which would have been just such a weird visual. Hey, let's do this.
My whole point was it. Oh, go ahead.
Thank you for your permission. If you have any doubt,
it's gonna take him out. I was just going to say that they're also closeted. All those guys are just like closeted, like just secretly longing to get down on the knob. And they just...
secretly longing to get down on the knob. Is that what you just said?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
Perfect. All right. Ukraine. That's right.
You can't let that happen to me.
Thank you, Tiny Trump. This is one of my favorite things on the internet right now. The Daily Show released an instructional video for the Senate jurors. You know how before you go do jury duty, they play a video to let you know sort of the rules of being a juror? Well, the Daily Show put one together for the senators who are now serving as jurors in the impeachment trial of Donald Trump. Here we go.
So, you've been called for jury duty in the impeachment trial of President Donald J. Trump. As a juror, the most important thing is to remain impartial. The following remarks by the defendant should not be considered when rendering your verdict.
Ted Cruz, I call him Lion Ted Cruz. He's Lion Ted.
Crying Chuck Schumer. You know, I used to be a big contributor to him. He used to kiss my ass, Chuck Schumer. He'd do anything.
That stiff Mitt Romney, a total stiff. Who, by the way, he's a dope. He's not a smart person, I'll tell you right now.
Crazy Bernie. He's crazy as a bedbug.
Crazy Elizabeth Warren. Or as I affectionately call her, Pocahontas.
This guy, Lindsay, the guy, he's one of the dumbest human beings I've ever seen. The guy is a nut job.
And then you have Cory Booker. Here's a guy who destroyed the city of Newark, New Jersey. He was such a bad mayor.
You have this clown, Marco Rubio. Little Marco.
Again, jurors are instructed to disregard these insults. Thank you for doing your civic duty.
Yeah.
That's
great.
He's just such a despicable person. Every now and then I get re-horrified. And that just kind of washed over me in that moment. Just that, like, oh my God, this is our president.
Well, and of course, this was entirely directed at the members of the Senate who Donald Trump has insulted at one point or another. And anyone who is on the Republican side and who's outraged about that Rick Wilson, Don Lemon, Wajahat Ali video from CNN God, the other day.
You know what? I haven't seen that. What's up with that?
Oh, it's so fantastic.
Yes. You know what? You can stop your whining right now.
Stop whining.
Thank you. Because you know what? I'm sick and tired of dumbness being pandered to in this country.
Yes.
Being empowered and rewarded. It is not a virtue to be belligerently dumb. I don't know where. You know what? I was about to say, I don't know where this came from. I do know where this came from. It came from people like Rick Wilson, who for many, many years, along with the rest of the Republican Party, was elevating the dumb fuckery. All hands on deck.
Who cares what those liberal eggheads think? Yeah. All they do is read books and go to college. What do they know?
Yeah, as a consequence, we get the cascading downward spiral of American politics. Sorry, Dan Quayle, George W. Bush, Sarah Palin, Donald Trump. It's so easy to make those hops. It's like that the chart of evolution where you see the silhouette of the monkey and then it's eventually the silhouette of the man. That's exactly what has happened here, except it's the opposite. It's, you know, we go from serious people to just nincompoops. And it's all thanks to a Republican Party that championed this kind of nonsense. The very people that Rick Wilson and Don Lemon and Wajahat Ali were making fun of on CNN the other day are the same people that were empowered by Rick Wilson and the Republican Party for many, many years. So I will say that, but I will also say, yes, please proceed. Please continue to shame the nincompoopery in this country, because I'm sick and tired of it. We got to make America smart again. I mean, I think we should show some empathy to people who are, you know, maybe not as book smart as they should be. And that's fine. We should be empathetic toward those people. But the people who wear it like a badge of honor and who want to go around and stick it in your face, who want to champion winning over facts, you know, as I was talking about with Sherry Jacobus on the show yesterday, the debate is no longer right versus left. It's fiction versus reality. It is normalcy versus fantasy.
Earth versus Bizarro World.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
It's totally like there is a world where Republicans are right and like down is up and climate change is man-made and abortion is murder and we don't live there.
Yep.
We don't live there. We got to make laws for this world.
I mean, going back to that Daily Show clip, you heard Donald Trump say this shit over and over again, and we're supposed to not, you know, retaliate by saying, you know what, that's some real serious dumb fuckery right there. I guess that's out of bounds because the reaction has been somewhat negative to that Rick Wilson clip. And again, I understand the origins of this kind of shit involved the Republican Party that included Rick Wilson. But at the same time, I'm just tired of dancing around it. I'm tired of, you know, like, oh, my God, we can't offend the dumb people who have elected Donald Trump and who will try to elect him again, knowing that he's lying and that he's a corrupt bastard. In fact, who was it? Joe Walsh. Yeah, you saw that today, Jody, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. He said an Iowa voter today actually told me that he knows Trump lies all the time. He knows Trump is corrupt as hell, and he knows Trump thinks he's above the law, but he doesn't care. Trump is, quote unquote, his payback, meaning this Iowa voter's payback against the libs. And then he asked why Joe Walsh is against Trump. And Joe Walsh said, because I can't support a king. I told him that's what he said. So this is the kind of guy I'm talking about. These guys are knowingly still supporting Donald Trump, knowing that he's breaking the law, knowing that he's a lying sack of shit. And all just to own the libs. Now, I tweeted this also in response to Joe Walsh's tweet. I said, you know what? This Iowa voter has zero respect for the office of the presidency. And that's the overarching problem here. Anyone who willingly exploits the office and their vote to settle a personal grievance knowingly, handing the nuclear codes to a mendacious crook, is profoundly unpatriotic. And I also said,
dear Republicans, the Oval Office is not your penis.
Exactly. It is not a plaything. You don't toy around with handing some reality show nincompoop the nuclear codes. That's not how
just
it should
to
work.
Just to settle your personal resentments. No.
Exactly.
It's not exactly. Oh, God. You know, I got into an argument with some friends of mine, people who are ostensibly on our side, you know, who were saying both sides are just as bad. And this whole thing's been a witch hunt. And I just kind of detonated. And then they were just like, you know, they didn't want to. And I was like, you know, I've been published internationally on these topics. Like, I've written for The Guardian. And they were like, well, that doesn't mean you're right. And I'm like, oh, God. It does mean that I had to pass multiple layers of fact checkers and editors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they were just like, well. And I'm just like, please don't tell me that your ignorant opinion is as good as my educated one, please. And they were just like, it's just, but there's no like, there really is like this inflation of this, the gut instinct, the least intellectual take on it, the Sarah Palins, who it's like, well, maybe you've got a PhD, but I can make moose chili. And it's like,
you know, I mean, there's something to be, you know, said about that. But at the same time, when that is again used as a weapon, when that is empowered, when that is offered undue deference, it just drives me nuts.
They wear it like a badge of honor.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And mark my words, the Republicans, since at least Reagan, want to people to be uneducated, which is why our schools are unfunded, which is why things are shitty in a lot of places. And so God forbid you have an education because you were lucky enough to live in a city that had a decent public school, or you were lucky enough to go to college or whatever, or you were smart enough to go to college and you worked your ass off to get there. It doesn't matter. They don't like you to critically think. There was a school in South Carolina, I want to say, where I think you guys were, I think it was you guys, I forget who was talking about it, where they allowed this student body, fifth graders, to decide they were going to critically talk about religion, Ten Commandments versus the tenets of Satanism.
Wow.
Oh, indeed. How did that
and
go?
Jesus.
The Satanism won.
It burns!
Oh, my God.
Because the seven tenets of Satanism are kind of awesome. It's like basically just treat people like you want. It's do unto others, basically.
Like, don't be a dick.
Don't be a dick. That's their tenets. And so basically they allowed these fifth graders to then put the seven tenets of the Satanic Temple up in their classroom. And it was Frangela. That's where I heard it from. It was Frangela. And so the parents then started getting upset, and the principal's like, why did we allow this? Well, you know what? They were critically thinking. There was a debate about it, and it was 100% approved. Every kid in that class went, yep, screw the Ten Commandments. We're going with this. And that's what teach. That's what a lot of people are afraid of.
Well, the number one commandment is don't worship anything but me.
Yeah.
Right.
Thou shalt put no other gods before me.
I mean,
and
I can.
That, to a fifth grader, you're like, that doesn't really make a whole lot of sense, does it?
No. It just is. When it was Francis and Angela, when they started like saying it, it was here. It's really simple. Mm. One should strive to act with compassion and empathy towards all creatures in accordance with reason. The struggle for justice is an ongoing and necessary pursuit that should prevail over laws and institutions. One's body is inviolable, subject to one's own will alone. The freedoms of others should be respected, including the freedom to offend. To willfully and unjustly encroach upon the freedoms of another is to forego one's own. Beliefs should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. One should take care never to distort scientific facts to fit one's beliefs. People are fallible. If one makes a mistake, one should do one's best to rectify and resolve any harm that might have been caused. Mm-hmm. And finally, every tenet is a guiding principle designed to inspire nobility in action and thought. The spirit of compassion, wisdom, and justice should always prevail over the written or spoken word. Boom. I'm
wow.
a Satanist.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that sounds like common sense to me. Wasn't that the Space Ghost Creed as well?
I think so.
Yep.
And it's probably the Force for all we know. I mean, but the kids, they argued it and the one side convinced everybody else and it worked. And then of course the principal was like, I knew this wasn't gonna turn out well. And parents didn't know it.
I love it so much.
I just saw you as that character in a Comedy Central movie about this story. Playing the principal. It was just like, I knew this wasn't gonna turn out well. Yeah.
Did you guys hear Paula White, Trump's faith advisor, talking about satanic
oh my God.
Pregnancies?
No.
Listen to this.
Hey, we interrupt that which has been deployed to hurt the church in this season. That which has been deployed to hurt this nation.
I want to add before we continue, she works in the White House.
In the name of Jesus,
yeah.
Forgive us for our sins. Come on, I need you guys to pray. We cancel every surprise from the witchcraft in the Marine Kingdom. Any hex, any spell, any
what?
Witchcraft, any spirit of control, any Jezebel, anything that the enemy desires through spells, through witchcraft, through any way that is manipulation,
demonic said
manipulation, we curse that.
Yeah.
We break it according to the word of God. In the name of Jesus, we come against the Marine Kingdom. We come against the animal kingdom. The woman that rides
what the
upon
hell is the Marine Kingdom?
We break
I don't know.
I don't know the Marine
it's Aquaman.
Kingdom.
It's Aquaman.
Yeah, it's Sergeant Hartman from Full Metal Jacket. That's the Marine Kingdom.
And why is it against us?
Yeah.
I don't understand. We are against the Marine and against the animal kingdom.
Yeah, well, that's because because the Bible says that humans have domain over all of the plants and animals in the Bible. That's that. Maybe that's what she's talking about there. I have no idea.
But what is the Marine? I'm gonna Google Marine Kingdom. I'll okay. be back.
I think underwater? It has to do with the Kraken, and
we reject the Kraken. We just reject
exactly.
the Kraken and all his dirty works and all his satanic pregnancies.
The power.
Kraken is whacking.
Too many titles today. Too many titles.
Yes.
Jesus, and we declare that any strange winds that have been
strange
sent to
winds.
Hurt the church, sent against this nation, sent against our president, sent against myself, sent against others, we break it by the superior blood of Jesus right now. In the name of Jesus, we arrest every infirmity, affliction, fatigue, weariness, weakness, fear, sickness, any self-righteousness, any self-serving action, God. Let pride fall.
It sounds like an Alex Jones show. Like, you know, we reject Bechtel, Raytheon, Bilderbergs, the Trilateral Commission. I haven't done that in a while. Where Alex Jones just starts naming things. He does that all the time. He starts talking about conspiracies. And then when it comes down to who's behind the conspiracy, he just takes out this long scroll and just unfurls it and just starts at the top. Bechtel, Raytheon, Trilateral Commission, the Bilderbergs, and just goes right on down. That's exactly what she's doing. No wonder these people also love Trump and Alex Jones. You know what I mean?
Oh,
my God.
Fall.
Wait.
Let pride fall. Let pride fall in the name of Jesus. We command all satanic pregnancies to miscarry right now. We declare that.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was trying to get to. She commands all satanic pregnancies to miscarry. Wouldn't that be an abortion?
So she's not pro-life. Yeah, she's not pro-life.
Yeah, those are abortions. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
What is a satanic? Well, I'm reading the Marine Kingdom is apparently one of the three demonic kingdoms, and it believes that it is the strongest because the earth was initially covered with water before God separated the heaven and earth.
Ah.
Okay. This is crazy, bonkers shit. It's like in spiritual warfare, it is important to understand that there are three demonic kingdoms. It's like. The devil operates through a network of faithful demons. Today we are going to study one of the kingdoms. The Marine Kingdom believes they are the strongest among the three demonic kingdoms. The reason is simple. At creation, the earth was without form and covered with water. God instructed the water to gather together. The end product was the cloud and land we see today. The Marine Kingdom believes that other demonic kingdoms are subset under them. More so, the human body is made up of 7%, 70% water. Additionally, there's nothing you can do without water. The Marine Kingdom feels there's... It's just like, this is like the rantings of a mental patient.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly yes. Right. Yeah, and again, go back to
the Marine Kingdom. It says it's responsible for the following: all cases of insanity, because demons for insanity come from the sea.
Okay.
I thought it was because
I had decaf all week. I thought that was the reason for my insanity. But okay, I'll believe you, Marine Kingdom.
The Marine Kingdom is responsible for chronic spinster and bachelorhood, divorce, bankruptcy, sex dreams, spirit husband, and spirit wife.
Sex dreams, Jesus.
Semper Fi, everybody, Semper Fi.
This is so bizarre. That's what this person believes.
What's your name, fat body? That's what the Marine Kingdom. Okay, let's talk about you for a second. Imagine this Valentine's Day story is all about you. And of course, it is all about you. You're parked outside a restaurant and you're about to meet your date in a couple of minutes. Well, glancing in the mirror, you notice your unsightly wrinkles and large under eye bags. I'm trying to do this without necessarily directly insulting you. Glancing in the mirror.
Don't worry. I exist in a perpetual state of offense.
Glancing in the mirror, you notice that you're hideous. You've got your wrinkles and your large under eye bags. You rummage through your bag thinking, where's your secret weapon? And there it is, your canister of Plexiderm. You apply the clear serum under your eyes and boom, 2 minutes later, you start seeing the under eye bags and wrinkles disappearing in front of your eyes. I've taken the test and oh my God, it seriously does work. I get lots of emails, lots of text messages. Bob, are you serious about Plexiderm? And I'm like, yeah, oh my God, I did the test. I stood right here in my bathroom and I looked in the mirror and I watched the fine lines around my eyes vanish. Plexiderm is a clinically studied serum that visibly eliminates your wrinkles, crow's feet, and under eye bags in just a matter of minutes. It's the Valentine's Day gift for yourself. Go to triplexiderm.com, enter the promo code VOICES. New promo code. It is VOICES for 50% off plus an extra $10 off. Again, enter VOICES at triplexiderm.com to get 50% off plus an extra $10 off. This offer is also available by calling 1-800-685-1292 and mentioning the code VOICES. Plexiderm is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. So to get my special discount, go to triplexiderm.com. Enter the promo code. Write it down. Memorize it. It is VOICES. Triplexiderm.com.
Deborah's home was stolen. No, I don't mean thieves stole stuff. I mean scammers literally stole her home. The FBI calls title theft one of the fastest growing white-collar crimes. And this story is why you need Home Title Lock. Deborah says criminals found the title to our home online and filed fraudulent documents claiming they owned our home. Wait, it gets worse. Deborah goes on to say, I was evicted from my own home and $85,000 in equity, gone. Nobody believes you can get your home stolen this easily. This is why you need Home Title Lock, because no insurance or bank protects your home from title theft. First things first, go to HometitleLock.com and register your address to see if your home's title has been tampered with. You need to protect the legal title to your home so you don't end up like Deborah. Go to HometitleLock.com now for 60 risk-free days of protection. Again, that's HometitleLock.com. HometitleLock.com.
The Bob Seska Show. Tiny hands and tiny fingers. I wish that I could be a shapeshifter. Oh, I wish that I was a dream. Could fly, travel through dimension and time and be with you. 'Cause one day you will grow to the size.
Yeah, this is Alexia Chambi from Denmark. I say that again, from Denmark.
Wow.
Best of international music here in the show. Thank you to Mary in Ann Arbor for directing Alexia Chambi to this show. Wow, this is great. She's awesome. Alexia and Mary, both awesome. BobSeska.com/music. If you want to submit, please submit your own music, not someone else's music. Because I'll inadvertently play the someone else's music and then get in trouble. So don't get me in trouble. Don't do that to me.
You can't let that happen to me.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, by the way, David Ferguson.
Yes.
I tried to connect you with Emily McCree. Did you get the email?
I don't think I have. Oh, wait.
I sent you. Emily McCree wants to work with you. So I tried to introduce you to her.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. Oh my God. I must not have answered that one yet.
Yes, please check your email. God. God damn it.
She's got such an amazing voice. I want. Oh wow.
Yeah. She lost.
I'm sorry. I felt like possibilities opening out of my mind. It was like dizzying.
It's been many months since I think the email got thrown into her junk folder or something like that. So that's why she didn't see it. So finally, I got an email back from her, and I said, "Oh great, yeah, I'll make the introduction." So I introduced you to, and you can run with that if you want to. But we also have, you know what? We also have breaking news. There's some breaking news here. Big, big Trump news. A newly released, there's a new recording. There's a new tape. Lordy, there are tapes. From Buzz Burbank. A newly released recording reveals Trump calling Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman my boys after declaring publicly he doesn't know them.
Fuck you.
Suck it, Biff.
Holy shitballs.
Yeah.
Wow.
My boys. Yet another title for today's show.
All these people were all taping each other. It's crazy.
No. Parnas was smart because he's a mobster, so he knows better than to not have his back.
Not, you know? Some evidence. Yeah.
He's smart.
Yeah, and
this
gonna
is
be.
Why I really do think that like Nancy Pelosi did the right thing in like holding up the articles of impeachment just a little bit longer so more evidence could come out.
Yeah.
Because now like the cork is out of the bottle.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point here, we're gonna hit a tipping point where it is absolutely undeniable that the president coordinated this. Well, I mean, he's admitted to it.
Yeah, I know.
Multiple times.
That's the frustrating thing. I mean, that's why Jody was cussing up a blue streak before the show. Because we're being gaslit every second of every day through this trial by Trump's defense. And so we all know that he did these things. It's clear there's a mountain of evidence proving that he did it. Transcripts, his own confessions, Rudy's confessions. Mm-hmm. And yet these guys are still standing up there and going, "Uh-uh." I mean, that's the entire Trump defense. Nuh-uh.
Right.
And then we're all going, "Oh, my God. That's the wrong button."
I thought you'd actually fallen off your stool.
See, I told you.
I was like, "Oh, Bob! Oh no, get his head before it hits
dysfunctional
the floor."
Buttons. But you know, we were talking before the break. We were talking about how Lou Dobbs and all these guys are adopting Trump's look with the ties and the face makeup and all that crap. Well, you better believe that now. All these guys, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, Rudy Giuliani, they're all going to nickname their testicles Parnas and Fruman, or my boys.
Or my boys.
My boys. Hey, look at my boys. Hey, don't punch my boys.
Before Parnas Rush Limbaugh can name his testicles, he has to find them.
You notice Limbaugh's growing a beard. I noticed that the other day.
Oh,
ew.
No. Really?
On a screen cap. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's see. So Rand Paul tried to get the Chief Justice to out the whistleblower today. This was an interesting little turn of events. First of all, John Roberts made an announcement. He said, "I am not going to read any questions that contain the name of the whistleblower." And wouldn't you know, Rand Paul, with that dead poodle on his head, decided, okay, I'm gonna ask a question with the name of the whistleblower in it, and then maybe I'll get John Roberts to accidentally out the whistleblower on national television. And of course, he did that. Rand Paul submitted a question to Chief Justice John Roberts, who looked at the question, took a beat, and then said, "The presiding officer declines to read the question as submitted."
Jesus Christ, that man is worth less than 5/10 of a bucket of tepid spit. I mean, he's just worthless. I would not want, I mean, you couldn't even wipe your ass with Rand Paul and get, just like, He is perfectly, absolutely, utterly useless, and is every breath he takes is a waste.
Yeah. Well, that you know what? I think you can wipe your ass with Rand Paul. You know, maybe that's the positive.
His neighbor certainly tried to.
That's right. I forgot about that. But the hair.
Rand Paul's neighbor 2020. Yeah.
And so going back, you were mentioning Alan Dershowitz's moronic defense earlier, T-Rex. Mm-hmm. He said, Alan Dershowitz said yesterday, if a president does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment. That is a direct quote. There are transcripts. There's video of Alan Dershowitz saying this in front of 100 senators and the Chief Justice of the United States on national television. Yeah.
Blood came spurting out of my ear.
Yeah. Well,
I just had it.
But then because you're not on Twitter, you didn't see his tweet today because Alan Dershowitz is tweeting today.
Oh, God help us all.
He said on Twitter, again, I'm going to read this quote again, just for measure. If a president does something which he believes will help him get elected in the public interest, that cannot be the kind of quid pro quo that results in impeachment. Then today he tweets this. They characterized my argument as if I said that if a president believes that his reelection was in the national interest, he can do anything. I said nothing like
that.
That's exactly what he said. The fucker. Then he says, I said nothing like that, as anyone who actually heard what I said can attest.
We have tape.
Yes.
Oh my God.
See also previous gaslighting remarks, because that's what we're getting. We're getting them saying one thing and then the next day denying that they ever said it, even though there's all kinds of evidence showing that they said it. And I guess this is all part of Iowa man's best interest to own the libs, to elect these kind of idiots, so that we're all going to go, ah, and Jody's going to go, mm-hmm. And that's.
I think the most insidious thing of all is that they're also attractive.
who's attractive?
Oh, all those Alan Dershowitz and Trump himself and Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah.
That was like heavy sarcasm.
Yeah. Well, did you notice Alan Dershowitz does the dick tent? We're talking about cultivating.
Honestly, I find his voice, it's one of those things. It's like Dave Matthews' voice for me. It's like the sound of an evil gnome with like Howard Hughes fingernails scratching at the inside of a cupboard trying to get out. Like,
yeah.
It just is.
You know, Dave Matthews listens to the show, you know.
Dave?
I'm joking. I'm fucking with you. He doesn't really listen.
Just in case, let me send a message here.
See, that's exactly what happened to me last Thursday when I said, you know, I'm not a big fan of ZZ Top.
Oh, damn.
On second thought,
one of them saved my sister's life, you know? Ran her out of a burning building and saved her cat, too. You know? But they suck. Yeah, you're right.
Bob.
I told you my Four Non-Blonde story, right?
No, I don't. Maybe you did. I don't remember it.
Oh my God, this is the worst moment of my entire life.
Is it a Linda Perry moment?
No, it was her girlfriend. So my brother's band was talking to all these record companies back in the early 90s.
Why is that? That's the setup to all of your stories. My brother's band. ..
Well, so like you don't know how hard it was at times to be Tigger's brother, but So my brother dumps off these two women at my apartment because he's got to go to practice or something. And, you know, this is Rachel and this is Joanne and they're from L.A. And Rachel's with Interscope and they just need a place to hang out for a couple hours. And I think they smoke pots and get them stoned, you know. And so we're sitting there hanging out and the Four Non-Blonde song comes on the radio.
Uh-oh.
And I start to immediately make fun of it. I say, chick sounds like Axel Merman.
Axel Merman. Is that a mix between Axl Rose and Ethel Merman? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. 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 And I'm like making fun of it and kind of crowing along with and the song kind of tapers off and the red-haired girl goes, she's my girlfriend. And I realize that she's wearing a leather jacket that says Linda on the sleeve.
Oh my God. Yeah, good job.
Oh God. I just, in that split second, it was like, oh please, planet, open. Like I just need a 10 on the Richter scale earthquake and a crevasse to open under me so I could be swallowed to the bowels of the earth. Because, well, and it was only her insanely polite Britishness that saved me, because she's like, they're really very different live. Yeah. And, you know, that's only, and I was just like, yeah, I'm sure. Oh, man, yeah, I'll go see them. I'm so sorry. Oh, God, please don't hate me. Like,
well, and now at some point, Jody, you have to stick your foot in your mouth, too, because we've all done it now. It's me and T-Rex, and now you're the only one left who hasn't said something.
Jody
that you
grew
regret.
Up around famous people. Yeah. She knows better. She knows
perfect.
That you could just be like, Andy Williams is such a dickhead, and he's standing right behind you, and you just missed him because you're shorter than the pot of palm, you know?
So funny. Oh, man. Okay. Yeah, and when you were saying Andy Williams, for some reason I went right to Paul Williams, who I wanted to mention was great in Goliath with Billy Bob Thornton. If you haven't seen
always great.
Goliath on Amazon Prime, really great
show. My friend Linda is on that show.
Oh, really?
She's the singer. She's the one with the beehive and sings on the fourth
cool.
season.
Okay.
Oh, man. Oh, that's so cool.
That's the one that I turned you on to, the one that does the black and gold record. I think she sent it to you.
Oh, shit. Why don't... Oh, man. I don't know if I
Linda
have that.
Linda Kay. Parker. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to have to double check.
She does a duet with Lemmy. She does a duet with Lemmy on that record.
Oh, wow. That's so cool. You know what? I don't know if I have that. I don't know
I
if I have her music.
I think you guys hooked up through Facebook. I'll double check. I told her to get in touch with you.
Okay. I have to double check.
Yeah,
because
she's on Goliath this season. She's a nightclub singer.
Oh, my God. That's so cool. Yeah. She was singing in the, is it the nightclub or is it the casino? That
casino maybe.
Yeah.
She most likely is wearing a beehive wig.
Yep. I remember her distinctly because Billy Bob Thornton throughout, I think it's season 3, just hangs out almost exclusively in this casino. It's kind of near where all the almond farms are in Southern California.
Right.
And that was the whole gist of that season. But yeah, I got to check that out. I can't wait. All right. We're going to take one last break here and then come back. And I've got some actual good news. This might actually be positive news.
Wow.
Go figure. You didn't think you'd
I'll find a way to make it awful, trust me.
Okay, perfect. Well, deal. All right, right after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius Bath and Body Products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items, too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska.
Yeah, this is going to be fun to play on Sunday's Indie Music Countdown coming up this weekend. This is Michael Snyder Barker. The song is 8.5 minutes long, which is exactly the kind of length I like my songs. 8.5 minutes long. Great. The song is called Until the End, and the new album is called Barker's Tales of Woe. And this guy, Michael, you might remember Barker and Broski. We played some Barker and Broski here on the show. Well, this is half of Barker and Broski, Michael Snyder Barker. Link in the description. Make sure to go to bobseska.com. Click on the podcast page for the episode you're looking for. Right in there is all the links you're going to need to support all of our indie bands here on the show. And please do it.
Chasing my tail, I find I just can't.
When I play this whole song on Sunday, you're really going to gain an appreciation for it. It is such a great track. Epic. Okay. So I promised some good news that I think T-Rex was going to turn into bad news using his mojo.
I'll do my best.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so Mitch McConnell might not have the votes to stop witnesses.
Woohoo!
We found this out. This was, again, like 2 minutes after Tuesday's show when this news came down. At a meeting of all Republican senators late Tuesday, Mitch McConnell said the vote total wasn't where it needed to be on blocking witnesses or documents, the people familiar with the matter said. He had a card with yes, no, and maybes marked on it, apparently a whip count, but he didn't show it to senators. Cory Gardner of Colorado, Martha McSally of Arizona, Tom Tillis of North Carolina, who faced competitive races in the fall, addressed their colleagues in the meeting. People familiar with the matter said, Mr. Gardner said a longer trial will lead to more Democratic attacks. According to a spokesman, Mr. Tillis called impeachment a sham. Ms. McSally's office said she doesn't comment on what happens in private meetings. Well, that's brave of her. Yeah, so it looks like there could very easily be witnesses and documents presented here. And quite honestly, I'm thinking that that's going to happen. I'm still a no on conviction. I still don't think the Democrats are going to be able to get an additional 20 plus votes to have 2/3 majority to convict Donald Trump. But
do you think it'll be bipartisan, though? Do you think that they will get some Republican votes?
I think they might. And I think they're going to get a few Republicans, and that's going to give Joe Manchin cover to vote no on conviction. Maybe
That's why we need to like make sure that Kristen Sinema, Doug Jones, and Joe Manchin get a lot of phone calls.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So these are all people that we need to secure, but at the same time, I mean, in order to get conviction, we need to get all of those Democrats, including Sinema, including Manchin. And then like 20 Republicans, which seems like, it just seems, Jody, like that's too much. Like, I don't know where they're going to get that vote.
It shouldn't be. It should not be that they're, breathe. I was listening to somebody on a guest on Tom Hartman today.
Yeah.
And Tom Hartman basically said to him, if you go with Alan Dershowitz's argument, the next president, say a President Sanders or a President Warren, who says, you know what, I'm going to raise taxes to what they were before Reagan dropped them, and I'm going to make health care for all, and I'm going to do all these things that conservatives hate, because by virtue of the fact that Donald Trump is going to be acquitted and he can do no wrong as long as they feel it's good for the country. And the guy went off on this, you know, Orwellian thing going, well, no, I don't think they should be able to do that. Well, and the president didn't commit any crimes. And I was just like yelling. People, luckily, they can see that I have headphones.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would be the crazy person in the street yelling.
Yeah, and your tweets have been fantastic. The deal is that, especially yesterday, I was so busy with other things that I didn't really have a chance to dial up the Q&A sessions in the impeachment trial. So I was relying almost exclusively on your tweets, Jody, to gauge where my headspace should be as far as all of this goes. But meanwhile, the White House is threatening John Bolton to keep his book from being published. In a letter, Bolton's lawyer...
That's not legal. The First Amendment says,
yes,
doesn't it, that you can... I mean,
yes, they do, but the White House does have the right, when it's an ex-member of their security team, to vet a book and make sure that things that are not... But you know he's not going to write anything classified. He's been in this business for too long.
Of course.
He's not going to do that.
Right.
So it's, you know, and half the book is released anyway. New York Times has it.
Yeah, yeah.
It sickens me that John Bolton,
I know,
recess appointment to the UN, John Bolton,
yeah,
couldn't get enough votes to clear the Senate for that one. John Bolton, neocon, bomberan, Bolton is like our hope for the future.
Well, now if you listen to guys like Lou Dobbs, John Bolton is like, I don't know, like
a commie pinko liberal.
Like a
trainer,
Bernie bro now.
Right.
Yes. He's like a latte sipping limousine liberal. I mean, they're really trying to paint him like that. And if you're a viewer of Fox News Channel, don't you have to go, now wait a second here? Because that's, this intellectual honesty dictates that if you've been praising John Bolton, I mean, he's been on Fox News Channel as a analyst for the last 12 years. And everyone's like, yeah, John Bolton really knows what he's talking. Smart man, that John Bolton, that mustache, miracle mustache, John Bolton. And it's like, oh, my God. And now they're just like, fuck him. He's just a Democrat in disguise. He's just a liblab, that guy. And it's like, you really have to say, okay, I'm not being honest with myself about John Bolton. But they don't think that way because it's all about, you know, like that Iowa voter that Joe Walsh talked to. It's all about owning the libs, right? That's the whole idea of the presidency now. We can give the nuclear codes to just any fucker as long as we're owning the libs. And by the way, I know I've been saying the F word a lot on today's show.
Fuck them.
There. Yeah, exactly there like that. So yeah, in a letter to Bolton's lawyer, top official at the National Security Council wrote the unpublished manuscript of Bolton's book appears to contain significant amounts of classified information and couldn't be published as written. The letter, which is dated January 23, said some of the information was classified at the top secret level, meaning it reasonably could be expected. I love that. Cause exceptionally grave harm to national security. The manuscript may not be published or otherwise disclosed without the deletion of this classified information, the letter said. So expect big chunks of this book to leak out anytime now, other than the ones that we've already seen. Expect more of it to leak out, because once it's in the public domain, you can't say, well, no, you can't see that information because it's national security. Well, it's already out there. It's already been released. So I hope that they're smart enough to cover their ass this way by just letting fly with whatever chapters that they can in order to stop Donald Trump.
You hope that the Trump administration is smart enough not to shoot itself in the foot? Really, Bob? Have you learned nothing in the last 3 years?
I forget my own maxim. Trump always makes things worse for Trump.
Things worse for Trump, exactly. Yeah,
that's the rule.
They will try to retroactively classify it like they did that other thing that was already in the public domain.
That's right.
I remember right now. Yeah.
Well, you know, we didn't get to Donald Trump saying criminal. We'll talk about that on talk about that on the postmortem show coming up here next. Plus, the Trump economy. Oh, my God. Trump economy fever. Catch it. It's really raging. It's a
Our growth is down from 2.9% to 2.3%. So well, how's now, that roaring economy, folks?
And now no one has to listen to the postmortem show to know what we're going to talk about. Get into that there coming up on our Patreon page. Plus, some bad news about the acidity of the Pacific Ocean. We'll talk about that here coming up. Plus, maybe the grossest story we'll discuss all week. E. Jean Carroll's lawyers have served Trump for something very, very specific. So we'll talk about that, too, on our post-mortem show. By the way, someone dropped off of our Patreon page saying, you know, Bob, you promised 5 shows a week, which I never did, and you never started doing 5 shows a week, so bye-bye, I'm leaving Patreon.
What?
I do, like, a gazillion shows a week. I do...
Yeah, you do?
4 shows a week, 4 main shows a week, and then if you add the 2 post-mortem shows on Tuesday and Thursday, I do 6 shows a week, with only one of them behind the paywall. But still, that's 6 shows a week, which is one more than 5... which makes that exit survey bullshit. I just wanted to say that.
I gotta
tell
you, I'm frankly amazed lately at how many people just don't read the basic info.
I know.
On stuff. You know, someone will be like, look at these beautiful photographs that my sister took. And everyone's like, oh, these are great. Your work is really coming along. And it's like, no, he just said these are... Oh, never mind.
I know.
You know, like, it's just...
Yeah, go look, go look at the comments under my most recent Salon article, and you'll see, 100, 200 people who did not read the fucking article. Who all they did was answer the question that was in the headline, which is why you don't ask questions in headlines, but that's a whole other thing. Okay, postmortem show coming up next. Meanwhile, support Jody Hamilton's podcast at from-the-bunker.com, also at sexyliberal.com, and of course, T-Rex David Ferguson's podcast at patreon.com/thetrexreport. All right, see you on the postmortem show, folks. After party tomorrow, indie music countdown on Sunday. Take care. Bye-bye.